have to do a program? I thought we could just dance the rest of the time away. That was the great percussionist Tito Puente on timbales with a little number he called Monti. This is from his 1957, you believe that? 1957 album, Top Percussion. This is Lead Stories. I'm Nutrice Lead. And as I said, I could listen to that kind of stuff all day. I really can. Well, it seems as if Bernie Sanders was listening to us yesterday, or maybe even before, because we raised a question some time ago. But, you know, it was interesting that he made it a point to answer, at least from his perspective, he's answering questions that must have picked up in pace and signaled to him that he better get these items out of the way because too many people are asking the same question. And that is, what manner of politician is he? Is he fish or fowl? Is he Republican, Democrat? What is he? Well, he says that he is an independent, but a Democrat. That's what he says. And he's running under the Democrat Party's umbrella come, you know, election day. So I hope that settles it. I don't know if it will, but that's what he says. He's made it absolutely clear. He thinks, by making it emphatic that, yes, he is a democratic socialist, but he's an independent from Vermont, and he's running for the office of the President of the United States as a Democrat. Now, that may raise some new questions. I don't know. But I guess it will, because there'll be people who'll be a bit confused still, I think. And he's just going to have to live with it and live with the outcome. Because it's not that there's anything wrong with how he chooses to identify himself politically or ideologically. It is just that the voters of the United States have basically been put in these little boxes, and they're accustomed to thinking in a particular way about elections. And Bernie Sanders is proposing to put us in new boxes, and we have to rethink our assessment of candidates and what they say they are. Now, I don't know if they'll do so in the way he thinks people would do it, you know, that it is an easy process. I'm running as a Democrat. What's wrong with that? What's hard about that to figure out? So he is doing that in that way, and we have no idea yet how this potentially might affect the outcome for him. Nor do we know how it would affect the candidacies of others who will be running strictly as Democrats with no other political strings attached. They're just running as Democrats. So, more to come on this issue, more to come on that. But what I want to talk about today is asking your opinion about something, because I imagine you consider yourselves, you know, left of center, but open-minded and all of that. Let's put that to the test with this little story. The story concerns a young woman who, her name is Hoda Mutana, and she's the daughter of a man who used to be a diplomat from Yemen living in the United States. She went to school here. She was born here in the United States. And there came a time when she grew up and had some ideas about seeing the world and getting an entirely different impression of the world that she was living in. She left the United States to join ISIS. As you know, that's the very radical group. It has been described as a terrorist group, an extremist group. And she left to join the ISIS group more than 4 years ago. Well, as we know, things have not been going well for ISIS. In fact, based on reports, it seems as if they are effectively cornered and they are fighting literally what many consider to be their last fight. They are cornered, they are overwhelmed, and they are outmanned. So it's in this context that this story lies. Now, she is 24 years old and the mother of a toddler son, and she wishes to return to the United States having left ISIS. I don't know much about her marital situation while she was affiliated with the group, but she wants to return now, she and her son. She will be bringing her son to the country of her birth, the United States. She's currently living in a refugee camp in Syria, and she's arguing that she has special claim in US courts, not only to request a return to the country of her birth, but to speed up the process of return because things are getting dangerous. They already have been for a while in Syria, where the refugee camps are and where she is with her son. But a US District Court judge on Monday ruled that she must go through the normal process and the courts will not be speeding up her application to return, even though she claims that she is facing irreparable harm and is in imminent danger. Those two phrases, irreparable harm and imminent danger, usually trigger a process that gets sped up when they start processing people's claims to be processed and returned to the United States. So the judge says she will have to follow the standard routine and it will take whatever time it takes, and that's it. Now, the question here, well, there are quite a couple, but the most important ones are these. To your mind, even though she was born in the United States and lived outside of the United States for 4 years, but affiliated herself with what the United States considers a terrorist group, does she have legitimate or reasonable claim, you think, to citizenship still in the United States, or had she forfeited that by leaving, voluntarily leaving the United States and going off to join a group that the U.S. considered a terrorist group, aiming at the United States to destroy the United States? At least this was part of the political rationale for the group. The United States wasn't its only target, but this is the philosophy they espoused at the time, that the U.S. remained a major target. So she is, for all intents and purposes, the question I'm asking you is, when she left to join ISIS, is it understood that she denied or left behind this issue of her citizenship, her U.S. citizenship? Her father still retains his identity as a Yemeni man. He's not a citizen, and he went back to Yemen. But this is the question here. If you had it within your power to deal with this issue, if you were given the task of deciding what is the right decision, what would it be? 888-874-4888. What would your decision be with regard to this young lady? Again, her name is Hoda Mutana. Would you find it within your heart to say, okay, come back home? You were born in the U.S. You have U.S. citizenship. You made a mistake, and we'll try and find the best way to fix it, to help you fix it. Is there any rationale that you could think of as to how this case should be treated and how she should be treated, how her request should be treated to be allowed to come back home? Bruce from New York, what say you as judge of this particular case?
That she has a legal right to come back to the United States. And I do not believe that she should rest on anybody's good meaning about this issue. She has the right to come home. I think she has a natural right to come home to the place of her birth. And if cases like this slip, I mean, it could have implications for other people who think they're here as citizens, you know. We have allies who are in Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, you know, that are announcing that people who were born there are not taking away their rights, right? So I think it's going down that dangerous road, right? But I think the way you couch this issue, and there's another case in England right now very similar to this, right? Okay. But the way you couch this issue, it buys into the popular narratives. When this Syrian situation started, yeah, it was well known by mainstream media that the United States government was supporting ISIS. Yeah, the United States government, even up to now, there are reports out of Syria stating that the United States are moving ISIS fighters from Syria, their gold and all this, you know, and there are many reports over the last number of months, yeah, and taking them to Afghanistan, for instance, yeah. You also have other issues. What's really happening here is that Western countries have been using ISIS as their boots on the ground. You have the same situation in Canada. You have it in London, I told you about just now. But the United States position is that they don't want any here, right? Okay? But when you have somebody who was born here, I mean, that makes a difference. That person has a right to come back. I mean, you know, I don't see how even if you went to an international court or something, that you can deny, you know, that you can win this case, right? Somebody's born here. They have a right to be back.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if you don't have that right, I mean, what other rights can you have? Or what other rights do we have if she doesn't?
Let's look at the case in the eyes of politics. What you outlined is rational. And in fact, it may even be legal. But let's look at the climate in which this is occurring. Her father is Yemeni. That's not a good thing, as the U.S. sees it. She takes off to join ISIS. She has a child, presumably by a member of ISIS, and she realizes 4 years later that she made a really bad decision, and now she wants to come back home. Is it to be as simple as that? Or do you see where the government is making the case? They will use her as a case in point, don't you think?
Well, you know, look, the United States says all the time that they don't want any. Look, Canada's taken over the last number of months like 200 former ISIS fighters and have relocated them in Canada. So the United States policy is to get other people to take in these people. But their political position is that they don't want any themselves. Yeah? Okay? But this woman's case is obviously different. She is born here. I mean, if you don't have a right to birthright, I mean, what other rights do you have? And if she doesn't have this right, what other rights do we have? I mean, the political considerations cannot overwhelm law, a matter of law. Not only law, but, I mean, it is settled law, right?
But you are also forgetting, or you're setting aside for the moment, while you think that that's the law, it may not be permanent for some. The United States also has a pattern of changing the law as it sees fit. And she now may quite possibly be categorized or recategorized as an enemy combatant. Should the United States extend citizenship rights to someone affiliated with a terrorist group who simply by saying, I made a mistake?
I see these things as two separate issues. Yeah?
Okay.
The right to citizenship is one issue, right? And the other matter that you raise, whether she's an enemy combatant, is another issue altogether, and that has to be determined. But there's no doubt as to whether she was born here or not. And secondly,
she has admitted that she went to join ISIS. She has admitted to be affiliated with the group. And I'm thinking, from the way the U.S. would interpret this, does the U.S. have a right to consider her, no matter what people may think, but does the U.S. have a right to consider her also a terrorist?
Well, I believe that the law may have a right so to do, right? But I do not believe that the U.S. government has a right so to do, because the U.S. government is arming, financing, and gathering these fighters from all over the place to be their foot soldiers around the world. Yeah? So I think, you know, it's basically immoral that, look, when this fight started,
You're using words that don't particularly belong in the conversation, like morality, you know, things that are moral and what governments will do. Just hold to this notion of morality. That doesn't, you know, these things don't apply when governments are involved in making decisions.
I agree. But law, I mean, as best interpreted, is based on moral constructs. Yeah? Like, for instance, you don't have a right to kill somebody. I mean, it's a moral construct first, not to kill another human being, but then it's codified after it, or becomes custom. not to kill another
moral
person.
Moral as these constructs are, they are set aside time and again. So morality is highly negotiable.
But okay, so what we're left with then is that if you presume that the United States has the right to say this person is not a citizen, I mean, how far is this step from saying that you are not a citizen or that I am not a citizen?
The government is not concerned with this argument. The government is concerned taking advantage of a moment where you have a living, breathing captive who has been pleading to be a captive. Come home. Help me. And for propaganda reasons, she is fantastic. But then on the other side, you know, the government has to rationalize that it is making a great exception here. So, and we have a president who is not interested in being seen as a weak president. So I'm asking, what is the dilemma as you see it?
Well, the dilemma is a real dilemma, because it even gets more complex when you consider that the United States, for instance, and these other actions have to be taken into account. The United States, for instance, is helping Saudi Arabia to bomb Yemen. So the place that she would most likely be able to go has been at war for the last 4 years as well. And that war could only happen because the United States is helping and arming and giving logistical support and all these kind of things to the government of Saudi Arabia. Yeah, so that even makes it more complex. We may have somebody who is a person without a non, you know, without any place to call home.
Hmm? And now I'm asking you to think as a
government and in that individual. Yeah,
from the point of view of a government, how would a government handle this situation? How would the U.S. government, you think, handle this situation?
Right. But if you're dealing with a rational government, if you're dealing with a normal government, right? Because I don't believe that we have a normal government here, right? But if you're dealing with a normal government, right, I would suggest that they will accept that she's a citizen of the United States, you know? And I am afraid that if they do not, I mean, this is going to have, I mean, law is based on what? On precedent, yeah? Okay? So once you open that can of worms, I mean, where is it going to stop?
Well, we will have to see. Yeah. And in the short term, we should be looking for clues as to where things are headed. But you got us off to a great start.
We already know that. This may just be a gift to Trump to do some other things that he has in mind, and especially if he wins a second term. You know, so I think we should be careful.
All right. Thank you, though, for getting us off to such a good start today. Peter from New Jersey, you're on the air. What do you think of the situation and what is likely to be made of the situation? Peter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, great.
I think if ISIS was strong and they wouldn't have, like a rat trapped against the corner, she would want to stay there. According to what I've been reading and hearing about this case, that in Great Britain, there are also other females that's trying to get back to Great Britain. We call this the old monkey bar trick. That's when a woman is in relationship with two men. And then when it gets bad, she swings to the other side. I don't think they should come back. I think she defaulted all of American citizenship. She was married to three.
On what basis? On what basis should she, or is she in default, as you put it, of her American citizenship?
Well, I mean, she can always be American citizen, but to to share all the benefits of being American. I think she should be punished in some way.
Okay, really, but what way?
I don't think she...
What is her crime, as you see it?
Well, if I go out and kill somebody, and a friend of mine is with me, he goes and kills somebody. He's an accomplice. She had married three ISIS fighters who killed people, killed Americans, shot people.
Yes, but she did not kill anybody herself. She was married to ISIS soldiers.
Yes, but she obeyed it and she helped indirectly. Ain't nobody put a gun to her head to make her go over there.
No, nobody put a gun to her head and made her go, but she went. But even though she went, she did not go in the capacity of a soldier.
Okay.
She went in the capacity of a woman who wanted to support an effort and responded, because there were even calls for women to join the revolution, as Dick said, and that meant getting married and having children and taking care of the home while the men were the soldiers in the field. But you don't have any evidence that she was actively involved in killing and so forth. So that puts another little block in your way, in the way of your argument, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, but how I see it.
Yes, I like does, the way you just said, oh, yes, it does, but I'm still going to make a point.
Whether I administer the poison or help give the poison, help is still poison. The aftermath is lethal. So, I mean, just my personal opinion. I don't think that, I think she should be punished.
So you think she should be turned down? You think she should sacrifice, or she should be made to sacrifice her American citizenship because of the capacity that she served in while a member or affiliated with ISIS?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Because she obeyed it. She indirectly, I'm not saying she pulled a gun or shot somebody or cut those people's heads off. I mean, ISIS was widespread. They did damage to a lot of people, which can never be repaid. You can't bring the dead back. She did a lot of evil. I mean, her husband. And she supported them. She supported them. You know, that's my personal opinion.
Well, thank you. Thanks for offering it today. Thank you very much for calling in. James from New York, what is your thought?
Good afternoon, Patrice.
Yes?
My thoughts are that in the Bill of Star and Decisis, how do you make a transition to say, well, the woman, let's go with Pocahontas.
Well, let's not go with Pocahontas.
Let's go with Pocahontas.
Let's go with this specific case of Hoda.
I'm going to come there. All right. Pocahontas is said to have been captured or taken aboard Captain John Smith's ship. She was 11 years old and taken to England. Then there came a guy by the name of King James, and they established that King James, maybe just a little bit before that, but when Pocahontas died at 22 years old, she was 11, died at 22. Turn about that she got married to, or they say she got married to J. John, it was John Roth, the tobacco plantation guy.
And okay, we need this to be sped up because you've taken us and taken Pocahontas as
It's all linked. Where I'm going to go with this is that the foothold that they got in the United States was through Pocahontas.
Yeah, but what you're arguing,
she never made it back. She never made it back to the United States.
Apples and oranges. You're not on point. You're not on point.
You can come to the point.
But when? We only have a one-hour program. And besides which, you have put us smack dab in the middle of English law. Dated English law. So, and dated history, about which there are so many questions as to its accuracy. So, if you need a moment or two to regather your points, feel free to do so, but let's stay to the point. You know, that's my big thing. If we're talking apples, let's not talk oranges.
Okay.
So the issue is...
Does a woman should be allowed to come back? If people
she shouldn't be allowed.
Huh?
She should be, according to you, she should be allowed to come back to the United States.
Right.
Why? Why should she be allowed?
Why?
Yes.
Because she was born, if you're born in the United States, that makes you a citizen. If somebody fly here, as they do all the time, come and have their babies within the United States, those, their children become a citizen when they are not.
Without really pointing to it, there are a million arguments against exactly what you're saying. African Americans were not citizens. They did not get citizenship for a long time.
Because of the Constitution?
So, even though they were born here.
But we are people that we are West Indians. There's a Western Hemisphere and the Eastern Hemisphere almost to the North Pole, all the way down to South America. The common denomination is that you are an American. Now, we're states.
No. You're missing out a lot. You're missing a lot of very important factors. It's not as, you know, across the board as you say. The whole question we have to this day in the United States is who is a citizen? And that question is raised in the context of white supremacy. Who is a citizen of this country? We've had Supreme Court cases on this question. Who is a citizen? What do we mean by citizen? So don't just assume that, you know, a generic application is what we ought to go by. Not at all. We have so many exceptions to that rule. Who is a citizen? That has been the crux of the matter in the United States for a long time. Well, you got us some good points to consider, and I thank you for calling in today. Ron from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Greetings, Utrice.
Thank you. And back
I constantly
at you.
Pray for your health and full recovery.
Thank you.
So I'm going to be as concise as I can because I want to end with a little stab at Bernie, but to address the question at hand. This person is an American citizen exercising her right to free speech like flag burning, her act of going over there and marrying ISIS supporters and ISIS soldiers. My feeling is that she should be allowed to return, go through the process of reintegrating, and do 4 years of community service. Meanwhile, she should earn an unemployment check.
Hold a second. Why do you miscast? Why do you miscast what she did? To say that this, her act of leaving the country, deciding that she was going to join ISIS and help the effort and so forth, was an act of free speech.
In my opinion, she she was an employee of the CIA, in my opinion, and she should get an unemployment check.
But you can't say that. She was an employee of the CIA.
I said opinion. In my opinion, she was working for the U.S. government.
Opinions, you can't say those things as opinions. I want you to deal with the fact of the situation.
Okay. I think what she did was free speech. She should be allowed to reintegrate. But do 4 years, as many years as she was out of the country, doing what she did, she should serve that much time in community service. But I believe her child should be naturalized and allowed to receive support from DSS. So, I don't think she was doing anything against this administration's interests.
We don't know. We don't know that. But even if she in fact was doing things against the interest, we're looking at how would the government regard this case? How would the government regard her status? We're not making the case that either way she should or she shouldn't. We're looking at the facts that are in play here. And what is the government likely to do, knowing all that we know about the relationship between the United States and Yemen, where her father was born, and, of course, with ISIS? The United States is at war with ISIS. ISIS is at war with the United States. So it's not just a regular relationship here. You could say that she technically is an enemy combatant who happened to have a child and who happened to believe that she made a very serious mistake and she wants to come home where she was born. How do you treat this?
The government probably wants to let her return and then face her crime, face the charges of, being supportive, an enemy combatant essentially, but that's not my opinion. I called to tell you my opinion.
I understand it. But I'm saying, even as an opinion, we want some kind of reference to the facts. Your opinion just can't stand by itself.
I claim she exercised free speech.
Okay.
That's my claim. But that would be her defense in a court of law, and I'm sure that the administration would be very, very happy to try her in this case, and make an example of her.
But on what charge?
Oh, supporting the enemy.
Okay.
But see, I don't think that's a crime.
Enemy?
I think she was used like the comfort girls in the Korean War by the Japanese. The Korean women placed themselves in, okay. I know you're going to say she did this voluntarily. That's why I have to fall back on free speech.
Your fallback position. Okay. Well,
you can always take the fifth, too.
I admire your effort to take an oblique angle here. And I think if you develop it a little bit more and put some more meat on the bones of this thing, you may have a reasonable defense, budding. Mm-hmm. But I just want to remind you that that this country has been dealing with this question for a long time and hasn't resolved it, especially when it comes to people of color, African Americans in particular. Who is a citizen?
Well, I think all Yemenis should be granted dual citizenship. But can I go on and just make that one little comment I want to say about Bernie Sanders? He is simply Joe Lieberman with a hunting rifle. You want me to break that down?
No, I got it.
That's all he is. He's a big phony. He's just a big phony. And I take Gerald Celente's stance on this. He's just
all
a
right.
big phony.
So we're not yet done with Bernie Sanders. We'll be coming back to it, I'm sure. Rick from New York, you're on the air.
Here we go. She's a U.S. citizen, so she has the right to come back. If she went wherever, the Swiss Alps, she was hiking, she got lost, she surpassed the time of her visa, and then she survived and said, okay, I want to come back to the States. But she didn't do that. She went in a time of, as you pointed out, we are at war with ISIS. ISIS has declared basically that they're going to rid the planet of America. Like, we are this evil thing on this planet, and they're going to get rid of us. And she joined voluntarily. She left the goodness of being born here, whatever, in all her education. This is what she came up with. Gee, I'm going to go and join ISIS. Now, it may not be written in the rules, in the laws, that necessarily is a direct crime. But, you know, if I commit a felony, then I can't, I forego my right to vote in this country. As a five-year-old kid, I would not know that. And I'm quite sure that law was not even in place 300 years ago. Whatever timeline you're going to put on it, at some point there was no law, and then they put it into effect. So by her saying, I'm going to join ISIS, I don't care if she baked bread. I don't care that she stitched the buttons on the uniforms. Her soul, she was disgusted. Her saying, I'm going to join ISIS, to me, is saying, I don't like this country. I'm going to join this group of people because I like what they're about. But yet, their main thing that they're about is to destroy Americans or anything having to do with America. And if she was sitting...
We don't really know all of what her motivation was.
Apparently, you can correct me.
I don't know,
but I was told that she had written, I don't know if she had a Facebook account, you know, everybody's on social media. So she had written some stuff before she left.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, that previous caller is right. She has the right of freedom of speech. Joining an enemy terrorist group is not freedom of speech. That's an action. Speech is verbal or literal. You wrote it or you know, whatever. She did an action. Now, because her decision fell short, and now she's in a refugee camp in Syria? Now she's thinking, oh, wait a minute, I need to go back home to the United States. I'm quite sure if the circumstances were different, which one of your other callers pointed out, that maybe she might not have gotten to this, oh, let me go back to the States anytime now because things were good. She's regretting it because of her present circumstances. She's been married 3 times. Her first husband got killed. I don't know what happened to the second one. And she has a baby. All of a sudden, now she's thinking about the baby, maybe? Or just herself and the baby. It's like, oh, this is not a good situation for us. No, I think she forfeited her right to return by joining an active, current terroristic group that has made America their number one focus.
Okay. So with that in mind, the scenario you just painted, what do you expect will be the U.S. government's response? It already has said,
I hope that they deny her entry.
The processing of your application to get home as soon as possible. We're not going to do that. But what else do you expect?
I hope that they deny her entry. Do all the paperwork. If you're going to go, if we're going to go on the legality, on the formal letter of the law, okay, whatever, whatever. But you cannot dismiss why she's in the predicament of trying to come back. She didn't go back and get lost in the ocean and was found on a deserted island or in the mountains, and she got amnesia or something. No, she went to join an active terroristic group. No can do. Zero. Stay where you're at. Figure your way. Figure it out for yourself. We have nothing to do with it. Yeah. Not to say that is the best thing, but I say that we should take the attitude of Pontius Pilate and wash our hands of the matter. She left. Wow. Yes. She left.
This is her own doing, and she must suffer the consequences.
That's right.
So then you're not arguing really about her citizenship. You're arguing about...
No, she's a citizen. Part. She was born here. She is a citizen.
I'm saying, if it matters more to you that she be punished than it matters that she be returned to citizenship, which is more important?
No return of citizenship and punishment. She's already getting punished. Deal. You made your bed, lay on it. We have nothing to do with it at this point. If I'm a bus driver and I'm about to make a stop, but you somehow demand, I got 5 minutes to get to the next stop, but you demand that I stop the bus and let you out because of whatever the reason, but you're making a big stink on the bus or whatever the case may be, so I let you out, you can't then cry whatever 2 days later and say that I let you off the bus, not at the bus stop, that it wasn't whatever, because you made a stink, you disrupted the bus, and the passengers, you were upsetting everybody. I granted your request to let you off before the bus stop. Now you're going to complain about it.
Here's the thing. In your example, your job as a professional bus driver is to observe the rules established
It is my job to observe the rules. I don't go
into bus driving rules right now. I got the sense of where you are. She has forfeited the right of return, and she's got to pay for her actions and deeds.
In any situation, there is a set of rules. So if I'm a store owner, if I'm a bus driver, there's a set of rules. But you also have to give some wiggle room for an out-of-the-ordinary situation, whatever that situation may be. A pregnant lady on the bus. You can't continue driving the bus if she's going into labor. You have to stop the bus and address the issue.
I think we can both agree. This is a situation in which the person wishing to come back home for 4 years was a member of a group that declared war on the United States, and in turn the United States declared war on the group. So this is not an ordinary situation. But
That's what I'm saying. This is an out of ordinary situation, and you, well, in this case Hoda, watching the news, reading newspapers, reading the internet, whatever she was reading, a light bulb went in her head and said, you know what? I'm leaving, and I'm going to join ISIS.
Well, sometimes people make the wrong decision.
This is a very bad wrong decision.
Exactly.
This is not your... You know what? I'm a little low on funds. I want to send Utrice Leeds a donation. I'm going to go rob a bank.
Hey, don't give me ideas.
I'm saying that's a bad decision. That would be a bad decision. I get caught, I get arrested, and I get whatever.
But nobody is going to argue that it wasn't a bad decision. I think we can all agree.
She went for the grand slam of wrong decisions at the wrong time.
All right.
Although I don't
I
know what time
point.
Would have
and
been the right time.
Thanks for calling in and offering your opinion. Thank you. Anita from North Carolina, what are you thinking?
What do I think? She is a citizen. That's obvious. They want to, you know, do semantics with dates. She's definitely a citizen. But I would have to ask to look at history. During the Civil War, the South was treason. They were all allowed to live. They committed treason. She committed treason.
Yeah, but that's all the way back to the Civil War.
It's all the way back, but we still have the Confederate flag flying high in our country. So we can't.
Yeah, but the Confederate flag is a symbol. It is not the actual Civil War.
But it is a
I think
symbol
we could agree on that.
It is the symbol of a Civil War where you had traitors that killed Americans on American soil.
Yes.
So she is an American. She should be able to come back to America, her country. Now, she'll have to face whatever law she's broken or whatever penalty, sanctions, whatever. But she should be allowed to come back. We actually keep people from other countries that commit crimes in our country, and then we deport them to their country. Why should this be any different? She committed
because
a crime. Why?
I encourage you not to forget the context in which all of this is happening.
I understand the context in it's happening. I do.
Okay.
I completely understand it.
And therefore, it's the context you also have to appreciate the decisions that are likely to be made in such a context. You have a president who is, let's start a war. Let's kill these people over here. Let's bomb those people over there. You have an identified group that she voluntarily joined.
I understand that. But
all right.
She won't come back, and she is an American citizen. She should be allowed to come back, but then she has to face whatever consequences her government says she should face. But, again, I'd like to stress, when we're looking at history, depending on who is being the traitor, it seems as though the government is lenient on them. I mean, we look at the Iran-Contra, and the gentleman, he went to jail, he got out of jail, and now he's on TV. You look at what Oliver North. Look at something as, and you're going to say that it doesn't matter. It's an apple when we're talking about oranges. But look at the drug Vioxx. The drug Vioxx killed 60,000 Americans on American soil. Not one person was held responsible for that.
That's a different kind of killing. That's a different,
really,
as the law goes.
It's
that's a different
really,
kind
really,
of
the reason
of
why it's
killing
not
people.
Is because it's a corporation that did this. This is a young lady. She
yes, it's, what I'm trying to say is understand the specifics of the case that we're discussing. It's not like any other case that we have seen in recent times. It's not like this. This is a case of a person born in the United States of a Yemeni father, and at some point decided whether she was brainwashed or whether she was seduced into the idea of adventure or whatever it is, that there came a time that she decided that she would leave voluntarily and join ISIS. This was not, I imagine, she did not declare this openly. She had to have done this in secret in some way, but she did it. She has been able to experience life in ISIS world, and she has decided that it is a most unfortunate decision that she made. And the only way out that she sees is coming back home. The question we're dealing with is, should she be allowed to come back home? Under what circumstances should she be allowed to come back home if the government decides to allow it? And what therefore are we talking about? Is it a matter of citizenship, or is it the matter of, as you talked with us today about, people who are traitors? What exactly are we looking at when we consider this young lady, Hoda Mutana?
Well,
so these are the questions we're talking about today.
Well, she is a citizen. We know that. She was born here on the soil. Birthright, done. The government
right there, and I said it before, that is a massive assumption.
It really isn't. If you're born here, you're a citizen.
Yes, it is. There are Supreme Court cases around this very same question. Who is a citizen? Who qualifies for citizenship in the United States?
Well, the amendment says if you're born on the soil, you're a citizen. So
I know. They said that from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Whoever is born on U.S. soil, you're a citizen. And then proceeded for centuries to deny people citizenship rights who, in fact, were born here. That's what this whole, these Supreme Court cases in the Civil War, you read them and you see that is the central question. Are you a citizen of this country simply because you're born here?
Well, that's the way it's written. And I don't know why.
I know how it's written.
There's no question in other parts of what free speech is or what it means to own a gun. There's no holes there. Oh, you can own a gun, so, yeah, have the gun. If you're born
here. Yes, but when you're dealing in a situation where you have a white supremacist country, and a lot attaches to that because it attaches in turn to power. Who is to have power and who is not? Citizenship is a form of power.
Well, we know who has the
power. How would the United States justify that it is granting citizenship to somebody abused power? Okay. So, see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening and contributing. Thank you.